just an old congregation that says, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Satan, you have to flee. Come on, everybody, sing it with us. Say, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You have the victory. That's good. Say, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Satan, you have to flee. There's another part that says, tell me who can stand before us when we call on that great name. Come on, everybody. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, we have the victory. Come on, everybody, put your hands together and just say, in the name, come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's wake up. Say, you, say, in the name, in the name, say that you have to flee. Say, oh, tell me, stand before when we call on that great name, Jesus. Watch this one, says, oh, magnify the Lord. Come on, put your hands together, for he is worthy to be praised. Oh, magnify, oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy. That's good. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Say, Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be. Of my salvation, hold fast. Blessed be.
Blessed be the rock.
Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Let's do it again. Say, oh, magnify. Oh,
magnify the Lord. For he is worthy to be praised.
Yep, say, oh, magnify. Salvation, Hosanna. Blessed be the rock.
Blessed be the rock
of my salvation. Hosanna. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock.
Blessed
be all my salvation. Hosanna. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock.
Blessed be the rock.
Holy is the rock.
Blessed be the rock.
Blessed be the rock.
Blessed be the rock.
Oh, my son.
Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you once again for this day. We thank you for your love and your grace towards us. We thank you, Father, for who you are and for what you are. We thank you for this privilege this morning of being able to give back to you that portion of what you have given us that is yours. For that we are grateful. We pray, Father, that this will be used for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ as we reach out, as we, a covenant people, reach out to the communities around us with the good news. We pray in Jesus' name.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Amen. Praise the Lord. How sweet it is to be back in the service of the Lord. Young lady came to me during the fellowship and she said, "Today is my baby's birthday." I said, "What's the baby's name?" She said, "Junior." I want her to stand with Junior. Stand with Junior. Amen. Y'all look at Junior. She asked if I would sing happy birthday. We would sing happy birthday to Junior. Will y'all join me in singing happy birthday to Junior?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Junior. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Amen. And thank you for giving us an opportunity to share in Junior's birthday. Amen. God bless each of you. So thankful to God for God being God. I want to say thank you to Mount Olivet and to about 60 of you who joined us last Sunday evening in Syracuse. Didn't we have a good time last Sunday? Didn't we? Hey, let me see your hands if you went to Syracuse. All right. Amen. 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 And then I want to thank about 60 something of you for joining us yesterday at our first quarterly leadership conference. Didn't we have a good time? I see y'all ain't talking today. Amen. But we had a great time on yesterday. Amen. Let me see your hand if you attended yesterday. Can I get one or two people right quick to come and give a 30-second synopsis? If God spoke to you, if God did anything to you yesterday, or if God said anything to you yesterday, can I get two people with about a 30-second synopsis of your experience of yesterday? 30 seconds. Yes, go. Yeah. One more person. One more person. All right, I got my two.
Is this on? Yes. I'm Gladys Nixon. I do not hold a title of leadership in the church. I participate in several ministries. Yesterday was unifying, and it was just wonderful. Very educational, spiritual, and really promoted a feeling of excitement toward the future and present things that God is doing in the church and inspiring us to move forward. I really enjoyed it. And for those of you who are not there, you really missed it. Thank you.
And I agree with you 100%, Sister Gladys. But I just want to say, as I transition, and most of you know I'm leaving, and I've shared it with Pastor, and I'm just so excited about how God has set this opportunity before us, not just the leadership, but it reaches out into the congregation. So as we prepare ourselves and equip ourselves to equip you, be prayerful and understand it's coming your way. So be excited about how God has blessed Mount Olivet. And I'm getting a little jealous right now. I said, Lord, he said, no, you just go on about your business. I got this. So I just want to say God bless this leadership. God bless from the top down. And y'all keep on keeping on. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you. On February 6th is church council meeting. If you are a ministry leader, if you are a ministry leader, like president of the choir, president of the ushers, or the women's ministry, men's ministry, youth ministry, any ministry, if you are the president of a ministry, please stand. You're the leader of a ministry. You're the leader of a ministry. You're the leader of the ministry. Amen. You're deacons, please stand. You're deaconess, please stand. You're a trustee, please stand. Amen. 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 All of you, we want all of you in the church council meeting. That's February 6th. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Praying for Linda Davis, who's at the hospital with her family, where there was a loss in the family. A cousin passed on this morning, and she's there, as is our nursery director, Lillian. And so if you hear a baby crying today, that means I'm not in this house by myself. When they told me the babies would be in here today, I said, well, I'm going to have some noise while I'm preaching. Amen. Just don't let the babies outdo you. Amen. Praise God. I'm excited about the preaching today. And let me just say, I really appreciate, and I said a lot, but I know relationships between pastors and musicians, because I talk to pastors every day. I talk to musicians every day. And I'm so thankful to the relationship with our entire music team. And that's why you hear me saying how much we appreciate you at Mount Olivet, because I know of these relationships. So I really want all of our musicians. And now that Donnell is on this side, I'm just going to call Donnell's name today. Amen. Donnell, we appreciate you. I need a bigger hand for Donnell, because when my head is turned this way, I'm giving honor to all of our musicians, and poor Donnell is on this side, and I never get to call his name. I call everybody's name but Donnell. So today I'm only calling Donnell's name. Amen. Now, I was up at maybe 4 o'clock this morning, just going over this message, and I was just taking out what I thought, everything that just didn't have to be said. I said, do I have to say that? And if I felt like I didn't have to say it, I made sure that I took out what I thought to be all of the fact. Now, if you either say amen, look like you getting it, look like you appreciate what's going on here today, I can get through this real quick. Not that quick is what you're looking for, but it just won't hold me. If you sit like, you know, I don't understand a word he's saying, it makes me keep going over it. So don't make me keep going over what I got to say. Amen. Amen. Let me hear you. Look at somebody and tell them, I really love you. I really love the Lord. I really love the Lord. You know why? You don't know what He's done for me. Gave me the victory. I really love the Lord. You can remain seated. Let me read verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 1. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." I want to talk about living on another level. Living on another level. I guess what I'm really trying to say, thank you, ushers. I appreciate you so much for the work that you do for the Mount Olivet Church. More importantly, as we talked about on yesterday, for what you do for the kingdom. Amen. Living on another level. I think one of my favorite songs in Christendom is I believe it's Tremaine Hawkins who sings "The Potter's House." The potter wants to put you back together again. Yeah. In case your situation has turned upside down. Now, I don't really know the song. It's a choir song. I'm a quartet singer. But I do know in this song, she says, you don't have to stay in the shape that you're in. The potter wants to put you back together again. I know that's right. Yeah. And so I kind of hear in this text today, I kind of hear the Apostle Paul through this book, Ephesians, really saying to all of us. Now, before I say that again, is maybe you're looking at where you are and the shape that you're in, and you might be saying, I'm doing all right. But I hear God saying through the text today that wherever you are, you don't have to stay there. God can do more for us today than He's ever done before. And so I just want to look at this book. To understand this book of Ephesians, you really got to understand the concept of the church as the body of Christ. The revelation that the redeemed, last Sunday, Lewis ended the message with the song, "I Am Redeemed." Somebody say it with me. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. I'm bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. And if anybody asks you just who I am, don't tell them that I'm Ricky Harvey. Don't tell them that I'm pastor of Mount Olivet Baptist Church. Don't tell them that I'm broke today. Don't tell them anything personal about me. You just tell them that I am redeemed. And this is what the text says, the revelation that the redeemed are the Lord's body. Now, if we ever need a place to just kind of feel good in the text, Brother Coleman, this is the place to feel good in the text. The redeemed are the Lord's body. In this world, is the essential key, the fact that the redeemed are the Lord's body, is the essential key for understanding this book, Ephesians. As you know, God utilizes many metaphors to describe us who are his people. I mean, he calls us the bride. He calls us family. He calls us household. He calls us kingdom. He calls us a flock. He calls us a band. He calls us branches. He calls us a building. In Ephesians, Paul introduces the idea that the church is also, not only is it the household of God, and not only is the church the bride and the family of God, the flock and the band of God, the branches and the building of God, Paul introduces another idea to us, that the church is also the body of Christ. This description describes what church is really all about. The word body recalls images of unity. The word body recalls images of diversity and mutual dependence. Lewis, I was intending to text you right here so that when I say this, you would hit that song, I Need You and You Need Me. So let me go back to it. The word recalls images of unity. It brings, when we think about the body, it brings into mind images of diversity and mutual dependence. Right here, I need you and you need me. We all are part of God's body. Just a little bit right there. I need you. You need me. We all are part of God.
Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive.
In our human body, every muscle, every bone, every nerve, every tissue, every fiber is essential to the proper functioning of this body. I need every bone that I got. I need every nerve that I got. I need every muscle and every fiber and every tissue in order for this body to function the way it's functioning right now. The same is true in the body of Christ. I need every one of you. The church needs every one of you. The kingdom needs every one of you. You are a part of God's body, and the church needs every one of you. But yesterday, God took us to another level. It's really not about the church. It's about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God needs you. The kingdom of God needs you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18 says, but now has God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased. If you know, some of us think that you just got up this morning and you came here because this was where you just felt an urge to go. But according to the text, God has set you in this body. Let me ask you something. Why do you think you didn't leave when you wanted to leave? You know why? Because God set you. The text clearly says to us that God set you in this body. In verses 7 through 11 of this same passage, Paul reminds us that we have each been given a unique assignment within the body of Christ, a specific area of service, if you will. Just as the human body allows you to manifest yourself to the world around you, the body of Christ, when it is functioning as he designed it to, it allows us to manifest not ourselves, but manifest Christ to the world. Our human bodies receive direction. Listen to me when I tell you this. Our human bodies receive direction from the head. My head tells my eyes what to look at. My head, my brain, my head tells my feet which one to go first. My head tells my hands when to move. My head, my brain, my head tells my mouth when to open and when to close. The brain tells the rest of the body what to do and how to do what is commanded. The same is true with the body of Christ. You know who the head is. It's Jesus the Christ. And Jesus, the head of the body, he directs the body to carry out his will in this world. I mean, Jesus tells us when to say amen. It doesn't mean we say it when he tells us to, but Jesus tells us when to raise our hand. Jesus tells us when to forgive those who have despitefully misused us, when to bless those who have cursed us, and to pray for those who despitefully misuse us. Jesus tells us how to love those who hate us and bless them that curse us, because Jesus directs this body. And so Paul writes to us to teach us how God formed the church, and he writes to teach us that praise the Lord and praise to the Lord for his grace in salvation. I mean, we like to praise God for our cars and praise God for our clothes and praise God for stuff, but Paul is teaching us in the text to praise God for salvation. He's saying, good deal if you got a house, good if you got a car, good if you got food, good if you got money, but he says, praise God for salvation. Because the only thing you got that Uncle Sam and the robbers and the thieves and the folks that don't like us can't take is salvation. I mean, the robber can come in and take your car. If the robber don't take it, the bank can take it. Can I get a witness here? But isn't it good to know I got something that the thieves can't take? I got something that the world didn't give to me, and the world can't take it away. I got the joy of Jesus. I got salvation. So really what he's telling us is, take this body if you want to, because you can hurt this body. You can kill this body. You can take the breath from this body, but you cannot take my soul from the kingdom of God. So he's really saying, I really want to take your praise. Oh, I just felt that. Excuse me. He says, I really want to take your praise to another level. Yeah, he says, I really want to take your praise to another level. I really want you to shout because you got God inside. I really want you to shout because you love the Lord. I really want you, not because you got clothes, not because you got money, not because you got a promotion on the job. You know what I found out? Just like you get promotions, you can get demotions. But you got something that the world can't take, and Paul is teaching the body of Christ to shout about. Shout about something that's worth shouting about. So he reminds us that we are not, here it is right here again. He reminds us, I love this when I counsel people. I've been talking to people who feels abandoned. Like everybody left me, and that I'm here by myself and I don't have what other folk have. And this text reminds us that you are not an afterthought. You're not an afterthought. I don't care if you live by yourself. I don't care if mother does not call or father doesn't call, or you don't have the relationship with your siblings that your best friend got. You are not an afterthought. We are not just some individuals who had the good sense to call on Jesus one day for salvation. The text teaches us that we have been on God's heart a long time. And so even when mama don't call and I'm not on mama's mind, I'm on God's mind. And even when my brother does not call or my sister does not call and they don't call because I'm not in their thought pattern, I'm in God's thoughts. You are in God's. Look me. Somebody said, look me. Don't have anything, but I'm on God's mind. You, the person sitting beside you, when God woke you up this morning, it was because you were on his mind. Lots of people are looking for self-esteem in the world. They're always looking for some way to see that their life has meaning. And so some people turn to book seminars and try to find, how to feel like I'm somebody, how to be somebody. Some people attach themselves to people who are already somebody in their eyes so that they can feel good being attached to people that they think are better than them. Some people follow the lives of people they believe are somebody, hoping that they can be somebody because they live vicariously through somebody who is already somebody in their eyes. Some people reach back into their genealogy to find ancestors who were somebody so they can believe that they are somebody because of who they are related to. Others seek for self-worth in religion. If you want to find some self-worth, look no further than your position in Jesus Christ. I'm not somebody because of my last name. I'm not somebody because of the blood that the doctors say flow through my body. I'm somebody because the blood of Jesus flows through my body. It flows through my life. God picked you out before the foundations of this world. God placed your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Listen to me when I tell you this morning, he chose you. That's what we learned. That's what we relearned yesterday. You didn't choose God, but God chose you. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. Now, I don't know why he chose me. I don't know. I don't understand why he chose me. I'm just glad that he did. I do not have all of the answers to all of the questions that raises, but I rejoice in it because I know it is true that God chose us, and that makes all of us somebody. Therefore, God is to be praised. God is worthy to be praised. God deserves the praise. God is to be praised. One, because he's the source of these blessings. The source of the blessings is God. Paul says, look at that verse we just read. He says, blessed be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, the word blessed, translate, a word that means to speak good of. Paul is saying, you know what he's really saying in this text? Paul is saying, God is good. That's what Queenie always say. I don't even care if she's mad at you. How you doing? God is good. Where you been? God is good. How was service? God is good. How was the trip? God is good. And that's what Paul is saying. God is good. Somebody's going through something right now. You know what your response is? God is good. I don't care if it's a truck right now unloading everything in your house because it's been foreclosed. You know what your testimony is? God is good. It does not matter what the doctors have said. You know what you got to say? That is, God is good. He's good. He's good. In Genesis chapter 14, verse 20, Melchizedek says, and blessed be the Most High God. You know what Melchizedek is saying in Genesis? He's saying God is good. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 13, it says, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessings and honor and glory and power be unto them that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. You know what he's saying in Revelations? God is good. So what am I saying? From Genesis to Revelations, God is good. And so one, he's the source of our blessings. Can I get somebody to say, all of my help, all of my help comes from the Lord. And I just need somebody here, Tony, to believe that today, that all of my help comes from the Lord. Let me rush. Not only is he the source of the my blessings, but he's the subject of the blessings. You know what he said? Look at the text. I'm just telling you what he said. He said, Paul says, God has blessed us. So I got some questions for you this morning. I got a little exam for you to take. I got a little test for you to take. I'm going to ask you some questions, and I just want to know, can you pass the test? Who woke you up this morning? Who clothed you in your right mind? Who put food on your table? Who put activities in your limb? Who is it that enabled you to put one foot in front of the other? Who is it that put breathing in your body? Who is it that gave you breath to breathe? Who rocked you to sleep last night? Who watched over you all night long? That's all right. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Y'all passed the test. Sit down. You passed the test. That's all. You passed the test. I just wanted to know if you know that not only is he the source, not only is he the source, can I get somebody to say, all of my help, because I don't want you whining when you leave here. I don't want you crying about your surgery tomorrow. I don't want you crying about cataracts. I don't want you crying about cancer. I don't want you crying about high blood and low blood. I don't want you crying about a bad son or a pregnant daughter, because all of my help comes from the Lord. But then I want you to understand, who does it come from? It does not come from the preacher. It does not come from the doctor. It does not come from the job. It does not come from Internal Revenue. It does not come from Donald Trump. It comes from the Lord. So what's happening right here is simple. It's simple. He's the source of my blessings. He's the subject of my blessings. But then he says in this same verse, I got all of this out of verse 3. He says, not only is God the source of my blessing, and not only is God the subject of my blessing, but he's also the scope of my blessing. Because he says right there in the same verse, all spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings. The word all, here's another test. The word all means, y'all passed the test. The word all means, y'all get a B minus. The word all means, oh, that's an A plus over there. What about over here? The word all means, y'all got it. Y'all won't take this test again. The word all means, yeah, y'all got an A plus 2 points. In other words, all means all. All means whole. All means every kind. All means total. In other words, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And what I'm trying to get from what I hear Paul telling us today is, not only when you talk about the scope of the blessings, he said this is what he does. He just keeps on. He just keeps on. He keeps on giving us blessings. Somebody say, but you got to understand the scope. You got to understand the scope. He keeps on giving us love. He keeps on giving us joy. He keeps on giving us peace. He keeps on giving us grace. He keeps on giving us... Wait, y'all act like you ain't glad to get grace. I said, y'all act like... I said, he keeps on giving us grace. And y'all act like you ain't glad to get grace. You better be glad that he gave you grace. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm glad that he keeps on giving us grace. and he keeps on giving us mercy, and he keeps on giving us hope, and he keeps on giving us glory, and he keeps on giving us countless other blessings. Can I peep back at verse 3? Can I peep at verse 3 again? He's the source of our blessings. Say that with me. He's the source of our blessings. He's the subject of our blessings. He's the scope of our blessings. Do you think it's anything else in verse 3? Let's check and see. Paul says he's also the sort of the blessing. Paul tells us that we have been blessed with all spiritual things. The word spiritual translates to pneumaticos. Pneumaticos. And in the New Testament, the word pneumaticos is the Holy Spirit. What sort of blessing? What sort of blessings? What sort of blessings am I getting from God today? What am I getting sitting in this place that's going to make a difference in my life? It's the Holy Spirit. That's the blessing that I get that makes a difference in my life. Paul says he's the sort, he's the pneumaticos of my life. He's my sort of blessing. I mean, you know, if you've ever been in the mail room, they sort out the mail. They put the mail for the area code 14613 over here, and the mail for the 14612 and the 14621 and the 23 and the 10 and the 08. But there's a blessing with your name on it. And they sort it out. And that blessing is the pneumaticos. It's the Holy Spirit. And that blessing, somebody say, is just for me. So somebody say, why do I need a spiritual blessing? Because there comes the time when you're home by yourself. There comes a time when you're driving that car. There comes a time when you're sitting at your desk. There comes a time when you're by yourself and the windows are closed and the doors are locked and you need a blessing. And nobody can get in and you can't get out, but God comes in. And what I like about God, God can come in and bless you while the windows are closed. God can come in and bless you while the doors are locked. God can come in and bless you while the blinds are closed. Who am I talking to this morning that know the windows are locked and the doors are locked and the blinds are down and the lights are off and God still blesses me? Is there anything else in this text? Is that all y'all see? Let's see. Well, we see God is the source of our blessings. He's the subject of our blessings. He's the scope of our blessings. Is there anything else? He's the sort of our blessing. You think there's anything else in this verse? Let's look. Not only is he the source and the subject and the scope and the sort, he's also the storehouse of the blessing. Because Paul says our blessings are located in heavenly places. Oh my God. You know, I didn't make this up. He says our blessings are stored in heavenly places. And you know what that means? It means the thieves and the robbers can't come in and get it. It means your blessings can't be snowed out. It means your blessings can't get frozen out. It means your blessings can't get drowned out. It means if it gets too hot, they can't burn them out. Because my blessings are stored in heaven. I'm done. Y'all think that's enough for one verse? I mean, isn't that enough for one verse? I mean, come on, go with me now. He's the source of our blessings. He's the subject of our blessing. He's the scope. I mean, this is just one verse. He's the scope of our blessing. He's the sort of our blessing. He's the storehouse of our blessing. I mean, look down there and see if you see anything else. Let's look. Oh, I see something. He's the state of our blessing. Why has God given such great blessings? Why has God provided such wonderful blessings like, I mean, the likes of you and me? He does it because the text says we are in Christ. Get ready to sing something, Lord. When a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ. When at the end of this message, oh God, thank you, Jesus. When at the end of this message, you know, when I was a little boy and they said the doors of church are open, I would always turn around and look back because I thought they were saying the doors were open. And I later found out they were really saying the doors of the kingdom of God are open. They were really saying the doors of God's heart are open. They were really saying the doors of God's love are open. They were really saying you don't have to stay in the shape that you're in. They were really saying, come to Jesus. They were really saying, come to Jesus. Because the state of your blessing is being in Jesus. I found the answer. Mahalia Jackson says, I found the answer. And then Tremaine Hawkins came along and joined her, and they said, I found the answer. I've learned to pray. And the answer is Jesus. So the state of our blessings is in Jesus Christ. Paul says that he that is joined unto us is the Lord in one spirit. God is one in this place. Secondly, God is standing with outstretched arms. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor. Labor means work. Labor means scuffle. Labor means have it hard. Labor means being disappointed. Labor means being talked about. Labor means being forsaken. All ye that labor, come unto me. Those of you who are heavy laden, cry at night, burdened at night, broken on your job, broken in the spirit, broken at home. He says, all of you who are heavy laden, all of you that labor, all of you that work, working to do better, working to get up, working to make a difference in your life, he says, come to me. Am I talking to anybody here today who know you can't do nothing without him? Am I talking to somebody who know you can't do anything without Jesus? Can I get a witness here that I found out I can't do nothing without Jesus? I can't do nothing without Jesus. I can't do nothing without Jesus. And so, we extend the invitation at this time for that person today who will come to Jesus. Why will you come? Why would you be a part of the local church? Why would you be a part of the church of God? Why would you be a part of the kingdom? One, because God is the source of your blessings. God is the subject of your blessing. I don't care what's going on in your life, and guess what I do know? Something is going on. You can walk out of this place saying, all of my help comes from God. All of my needs come from God. He's the scope of my blessing. You know what that means? You know what that means? It means he knows just what I need. He knows just what I need. He's the sort. He's the storehouse. And he's the state of my blessings. The doors of the church are open, which means this is a great opportunity for you to come to Jesus. The doors are open.
He keeps on blessing me. He keeps on blessing me. He keeps on blessing me. Ooh.
is God talking to right now?
He keeps all blessing me.
It doesn't matter what you're going through. Remember this.
He keeps all blessing me. Over and over again.
Can we say it just one more time?
Oh, he keeps,
come on,
oh, blessing me.
Receive your blessings. Lift those hands and receive your blessing today.
He keeps, oh, blessing me. Hey, oh, the Lord keeps, oh, blessing me. Over and over, over and over again.
Now, can I hear you sing those words? Can I hear you say it today? Yeah.
He keeps all blessing me.
That's all of us in here. That's all of us.
He keeps all blessing me. Every minute, every day of my life.
We're getting ready to go home, but I want somebody to know that
he keeps all blessing me.
It doesn't matter what you've been through or what you're going through. We want y'all to know
he keeps all blessing me.
Can you do me a favor and hug somebody close to you and look them in the face and tell them?
He keeps on blessing me.
Now turn around and hug somebody else. They just need to know Jesus
over and over again.
And I see the tears coming down your eyes. That everybody gets a hug today.
He keeps all blessing me.
Don't let nobody leave here without getting a hug.
He keeps all blessing me.
Over and over. somebody tell God, thank you.
Even when I don't
thank you for your presence. Thank you for your blessings.
Over
we get ready to leave.
And
now God got the door blocked.
Again.
Because the Holy Spirit is in this place. I'm just like you.
Through the
I was ready to go too. And now I see God
over
got us here
again.
Going home, I'm going to tell you one more time.
He keeps on blessing me.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
He keeps on blessing me.
Able to keep us from falling, able to present us faultless before an all-wise God. To him be power, dominion, and majesty, now and forevermore. Until we meet again, let us sing together. Somebody's hand, look him in the face, and tell him, I'm so glad you came to church today.